catching up with me. Elephant mind, yes, you don't have. You're forgetting to fly, daughter, when you sleep. I got a hazy, daisy, Susan, taking turns all over my dreams. I got lizards and snakes running through my body.
Everybody, it's Thursday night, and we're coming back at you once again. It's been a while. It's been a long time since we rocked and or rolled. Hot Stuff was kind enough to wake up from his long winter's nap to grace us with his presence. You know, it's no wonder you were tired. There was probably at least a quarter of a shot of tequila in that pitcher of margarita-flavored water we had at dinner.
It was like, it was a significant amount of alcohol.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking that if I just suddenly, like, woke up, like, if I was just suddenly dropped into somebody's body, feeling exactly the way that I felt after drinking that half a pitcher of margaritas, I would not have been able to tell you that I had had any alcohol at all.
Okay.
Maybe all the alcohol was in your half.
Maybe all the tolerance was in your half.
Maybe your half was in the middle. Remember that orange juice commercial? With the little kid splitting a glass of orange juice with somebody.
Uh-huh.
And he drinks, like, three quarters of it. It's like, you drank more than half. I had to. My half was in the middle.
I see.
Yeah. Remember that commercial when we were kids? That was the woman being all, I can bring home the bacon, and then the name of some product, fry it up in a pan, and then the name of the product repeated again. It's like Angele or Angeli.
I have no idea.
I was thinking about that because Riff was saying earlier he was wondering if Sizzleen still existed.
Oh, yeah.
No, the only commercial I remember from my youth was the Lifesavers commercial where the father and the son are, like, sitting there underneath the tree watching the sunset. The sun sets all the way down. The kid turns to his dad and says, "Do it again, Daddy."
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
See, that one's really cute.
It seems like that wasn't all that long ago.
Yeah,
we're pretty young guys.
Hmm.
Also fun guys.
Yeah. There, you know, Kominaka Beachside. You remember that commercial. Don't remember what it was for, though.
It was a telephone
company. Like Sprint or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other commercials do you remember from your youth, Riff?
Let's see. No, now that you put me on the spot, I can't really think of any.
Did you see the original Legend of Zelda commercials when
Yeah. Zelda!
Octorox!
Cleavers! That thing was great.
I wonder if we're not coming in a little loud. We're pegging the volume on this thing. Somebody will tell us. Grok said the vox levels were okay.
Is it because of our peg tongues? What pirates that are really old and talk a lot of crap get?
Mm-hmm. They get their tongues bitten off by crocodiles.
Yeah.
And late at night, you can still hear the sound of licking from inside the crocodile's stomach. I want to write a story about a guy who loses his hand in a fight with Crocodile Dundee.
That ain't a
insisting that it was, in fact, a knife. I stole one of your beers because those weak-ass margaritas were not enough for my man-sized hunger.
Uh-huh.
For the sweet release of booze. So yeah, we just got back from a trip to ye old Boston. No Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. We went to Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. You did, and I stood outside. But I got
my mail.
I wasn't allowed to go inside because I was not liberal enough.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out if I can, like, sue the government, because I, like, totally paid to have my mail forwarded with the premium mail forwarding service, and they skipped at least 1 week's worth of mail.
You'd sue them to get your $8 back.
It was like $10 or $12.
Yeah, it would cost you at least half again that in legal fees.
I know.
You're one of those back alley lawyers.
Yeah.
Our back alley is a lot less prolific a source of lawyers nowadays because of the the fancy gate.
But maybe I could sue for triple damages and get like $30 or $40.
Yeah,
back.
Wow, that would be nuts.
Crazy.
you could get a critical hit on your lawsuit, get triple damages.
Yeah. Maybe top the charts.
The DPS charts.
Critical hit.
Yeah. Have you played any World of Warcraft since we got back into town, Riff?
I went and bought my Mechanistrider, and now I'm standing on a dock in the basement of Dalaran fishing.
Sitting on a dock in the bay? The yeah. Basement of Dalaran. Oh, Dalaran, okay.
What's yeah. Why is Mechanistrider neat?
Because my character is an engineer, and I wanted to go with my Rafflecopter.
I see.
And
are you building the fucking motorcycle?
I might someday, but it's so crazy expensive for so little benefit that...
What's the benefit?
It's...
Faster than epic speed?
It's... I think it's... It may just be epic, but... Well, unless... I don't know, actually, because they may have... See, the thing was, it wasn't really a mount. It was a vehicle.
Right.
And that gave you some advantages, like... For example, you could leap off of any height of cliff, and landing at the bottom would destroy the vehicle, but you would just pop out unharmed and could summon the motorcycle again.
Wait, it would destroy the vehicle with that?
Yeah, because it has its own health bar.
Do you think that was how Evel Knievel did all of the stuff that he was so famous for?
It has its own health bar.
Yeah.
Could you run around in like PvP?
Yeah, and you can't you can't get knocked off of it by monsters and things like that. But that was also the situation with the mammoth mounts, and I know that those are getting changed to be regular mounts. So I don't know if that's happening with the motorcycle or not as well.
Fucking
on the whole,
man.
The motorcycle is really just a vanity thing.
Huh? But it doesn't fly.
No. Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't fly. It can carry a passenger.
It can carry a passenger?
Yeah. Put somebody in the sidecar.
Wow, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a fucking motorcycle, man.
Yeah.
It's not as cool looking as I would have hoped
either.
It's
like a steampunk motorcycle.
It's not, though. It's just like a fucking...
Harley.
It's like a Orange County Choppers motorcycle. It's not even... Yeah, that's frustrating.
Whatever.
All right, do you think a high enough level engineer should... be able to build a laptop so that you can actually play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but they've got tanks and stuff, and you're not angry about tanks.
I'm kind of angry about tanks.
You're not really angry. I can tell. Yeah. I can tell you're not really angry.
I played that one, the PvP scenario with all the tanks and shit, and I was just, like, hella confused. I was, like, wicked disoriented.
It takes a few goes before you start to really understand what's going on.
I also went in there at, like, level 30. No, 60. 69. So, we did the mystery hunt.
Or the mystery hunt did us.
In the pooper.
Yeah, in the pooper. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Mystery hunt was hard as fuck.
Yeah, I feel like we put up a respectable showing.
Yeah, we did.
Except for the meta puzzles.
Riff and I did a puzzle that we're pretty sure that Foggy wrote just for us.
Yeah.
That's probably not true, but it had to have been Foggy that wrote that puzzle. It was interesting. It was character sheets from fictional RPG fictional RPG characters as opposed to what, I guess, but... They had all these weird skills and stats.
Listed. See, you guys did that, and I came in and I was like, "Why are you guys still doing that?" The answer is clearly this.
Yeah, because, we were solving the puzzle for the sake of solving the puzzle.
I know.
For us, it was the destination. It was the voyage.
I kept doing that, too. I kept going up, talking to people, and they had, 80% of a puzzle done, and, here's what the answer's going to be. Just use the answer.
Yeah.
That happened, that puzzle that me and Jenny and that one young blonde dude did on his touchscreen laptop.
Oh. Who was that dude?
I don't know. He was smart, though. But it was this crossword puzzle where there were some letters filled in, and the spaces that were filled in were expanded out to a 2x2 square. So you had to fill in a word
that could be
that would work with either of those groups of two letters. And
given no clues, you just had to.
Right. Well, there was a set of clues that corresponded to the third word that you could get out of those by running through the given box diagonally.
Huh.
So, if the two words you were given were whiskers and whimpers, then the third word would be whispers. And there was a list of clues that corresponded to that. And there was one less clue than there were words in the puzzle. So we were immediately probably the answer is the one that doesn't have a clue associated to it. And we found that one fairly early on, but instead of calling it right away, we went ahead and finished the rest of the puzzle just to make sure. And it turned out, yeah, we could have called it in an hour earlier.
Huh.
Hot Stuff's always wanting people to just phone it in. So, when I hired him, he was all, super thorough. And then he discovered World of Warcraft, and it just turned him into kind of a slacker.
I haven't played World of Warcraft in a year.
Yeah, but you spent the entire mystery hunt going around why are you finishing this puzzle? Just play World of Warcraft.
Yeah. There was a puzzle we never got to that, that guy that went around the world, doing the silly dance or whatever?
Yeah.
The same girl who did the Warcraft dances 2 years ago did a version of that around Boston.
Huh.
And everybody was like, oh man, that girl is so hot, because they all go to MIT.
Yeah.
And they've only ever seen four girls, and she's the hottest of the four.
You just don't have anything nice to say about MIT girls.
That's true. Maybe if they were better looking, I would have something nice to say about them, like, they're better looking than MIT girls. Then they would be MIT girls, so the definitions would shift, and it would be... It's like a crazy puzzle.
It's like a tautology that gone wrong.
I'm going to start a new line of videos called Tautology's Gone Wrong. You get the first one for, $12, but then you're signed up for the $80 a month subscription.
Is it like Girls Gone Wild only?
Yes, that was the joke that I was making.
It wasn't very funny.
So it would be like A equals B?
Yes. That's all it is.
Therefore, anything I want.
So.
And then we also took a picture in front of a mural.
That's funny, yeah. We took a picture in front of the mural from MS Paint Adventures.
Yeah.
Because when Hot Stuff saw it, he was like, wait a minute, that mural is near where I used to live. At the Harvest Co-op.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was that or on the public library, because there's two somewhat similar-ish murals. And it was totally not the one on the library.
Did we do anything else while we were there? We hung out with Mr. Mag.
Yeah, he took us to an awesome bar in Brookline.
The Public House with a K?
Yeah, but it's with a CK. When you say Public House with a K,
You think H-O-U-K-S-E?
No, I thought it was P-U-B-L-I-K.
Huh.
The with a K is pretty ambiguous, I feel like.
I see.
But yeah, that was a neat... I'd never been there before, and I was pretty pleased about that.
Yeah, it was good. You had that crazy beer that was like raspberry lighter fluid.
Right.
With a cough medicine chaser.
Yeah, that was messed up. There was all kinds of weird beers that we had there. The beer that tasted like a smokehouse.
Beef jerky. Yeah. Yeah, that was a strange thing. I don't know that I would drink any more of that.
We watched the inauguration.
That's true.
Yep.
Was the do-over oath televised?
I don't know. I saw a picture of it. Did they do a do-over? Yeah, he did a do-over. It was hard to watch. Just everybody fucked it up.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Well, it was so strange that it had gone so well for the vice president. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, common knowledge is that the blacks, they're just not as articulate as white people. Maybe that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Gonna give that joke a moment of silence.
Yeah.
No, it's okay, everybody. I'm married to a black person, so I can make those jokes.
And she can make them too, just not as well.
Is that why you married her?
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to expand my vocabulary by exactly one. I learned some words while we were on the trip, but I don't remember what they were.
So you didn't really learn them.
Yeah, I guess not. Riff and I did a crazy kind of pseudo crossword puzzle sort of thing. Not really a crossword puzzle.
The one where you were... We learned a lot of other meanings for words we already knew.
Yeah. Like, funky. The primary definition of the word funky means, like, panicky. Or in a state of, like, sort of active, out-of-control fear. Which,
yeah, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, I had never heard it used in that sense, either. But that was the number one definition in the dictionary that I looked at. So, like, the funky chicken takes on a whole new meaning. But, got a, what's this thing called? For those of you that have iPhones, if you want a dictionary and a thesaurus and a crossword puzzle and or anagram solver, check out Wordbook. It was definitely worth the $2 that I paid for it. I think it's like $4 now. I have an idea for a radio segment.
Uh-huh.
Right? I've been listening to all these podcasts. They make me want to do segments. Then we can edit in some cool intro music to the segment.
We could actually edit our radio show at all.
What?
I mean, it doesn't have to be live, does it?
Yes. It kind of does. I mean, it does. Somebody else records the one for the podcast.
Which podcast?
The podcast. The actual podcast.
The podcast that we do?
Well, we don't do a podcast.
Right, so that's why I'm confused as to what you're talking about.
Okay, so there is a podcast that is our shows.
Okay.
Somebody else records those.
Yeah.
Stargazer strips the music out of them.
Yeah.
Puts them up on the podcast. So if we edited them, we'd have to change that procedure. And
why couldn't we just edit them together and broadcast them? First.
Oh, I suppose we could.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying. So do them ahead of time?
Yes.
I don't think we would ever do it.
Okay. What if we just did our radio shows like 2 days in advance and then spent the rest of the 2 days editing them together?
We could. They would have to, you know, we'd have to edit them to the exactly the right length.
Well, but, I mean, that's what music is for, right?
I mean, I don't know that that's, like, why music was invented.
I'm pretty sure. Like, because there was no music before Marconi, right?
Marconi?
Yeah, and Tesla. Adventures of the Radio.
I see. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, this segment. This segment is a segment where I'm going to... ask you guys to justify a decision that we made in the past about some stuff, and I'm going to be all, like, self-doubting devil's advocate.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, here's what this segment, the debut of this segment, is going to be about. The wine bottle glyph puzzle, the distribution of the... tools among the gremlins in the level 12 quest.
Okay.
The, to a lesser extent, door puzzle, the heavy door, light door puzzle. Basically everything that we've ever done that was randomized per player.
Yeah.
In an effort to make it unspoilable. Are we doing anyone any good by putting content like that in the game? That is my question that I pose to the two of you.
Are we doing anyone any good?
Are we doing anyone any good? Are we serving anyone with that content?
We're serving the people who like to do puzzles.
But would they not be just as equally served by a puzzle that was not randomized per player?
We're punishing the people that only solve the puzzles by looking up the answers on the
sure.
internet.
So when I say, are we doing anyone any good, and you counter with, we're punishing a certain group of people.
Yes.
So
well,
who
it does make the puzzle different every time a particular player does it.
But that doesn't necessarily matter. Like, we could just have four randomized puzzles that
well, yeah, but solve. People ascend dozens upon dozens of times.
Have you ever met an ascender who enjoyed the having to solve the glyph puzzle every time?
I
have you ever met an ascender?
Yeah, that's
I kind of feel
the
like
ascenders that I have met have not voiced an opinion on that particular puzzle.
I feel like I have only ever heard complaints about it. With the wine puzzle one, with the wine glyphs especially, there are a lot of people complaining about the just sort of tedium of having to like put the glasses on, check the bottles, put the glasses on, look at the wall, that kind of thing, right? Which I can understand that if you are really, even if you're only a little bit trying to optimize and you don't want to just waste an accessory slot
right.
on those glasses, that is just a hassle, right?
Well,
and
but I mean, from this, isn't solving a puzzle in any game just a hassle then? I mean, what's the point of having a puzzle in a game at all?
I would argue
that
it's fun the first time.
Yeah,
most games you don't have to do it once every 3 or 4 days. And I think that is by and large the argument that people make when they complain about that stuff. Did you read any of Rabid's thread about like puzzle versus game?
When was it?
Was it Rabid? I don't remember if it was Rabid or not.
I don't remember.
Seems like the kind of thing that he would write, though.
I've not seen
and
that.
He would just give it some title that didn't make any fucking sense, and then I would replace it with a sensible title. he was talking about puzzles versus games, you know. When we were sitting talking to Mag and Lycra, they were both complaining about what a pain in the ass the Gremlins thing was, too. Because putting the uniform back on in order to talk to Yossarian and get the clue about where you're going just required a bunch of extra work. Right? So, I wonder, I mean, I honestly wonder, like, who are we serving by having it work that way? I feel like somebody who wanted to solve the puzzle on their own without looking at the wiki would do so. Anybody else is going to look at the wiki. It's going to tell them the different possibilities, right?
Well, we could do like I set up for the future thing that we're going to be putting in, where doing the where there's a shortcut that prevents you from having to do the puzzle, but if you do the puzzle, you get bonus.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a shortcut that was only available after your second ascension.
Who are we serving by having tasks to complete each time you do an ascension, though? You know.
Well,
I mean,
I would argue that a certain amount of framework makes it more fun.
But how is it fundamentally different to have to think about something versus just clicking on something 30 times?
It's harder.
Okay, so
well, I mean, yeah, there is that. I mean, if we want to encourage people to think, then, I mean, I don't feel like asking people to think is a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I feel like, is that It's requiring a bit of actual conscious thought to do something.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to beat the boner dagon every time you ascend, I mean, I don't feel like it's so very different. It's a different skill set, but whoever said that we're only going to, that whoever said that you only have to have one skill set to get through the entire game.
Sure. Do you think that it would be fun if you just had to, like, solve a Sudoku to turn the wheel in the tomb?
I think a Sudoku would be maybe a little too long, and I would hope that we would have a twist on it that would make it more interesting than a Sudoku you would see in your newspaper. But no, I wouldn't.
Because you'd have to do 10 per ascension.
Well, yeah, that's why I say that a full Sudoku would be big.
What if you had to do 10 Sudokus every time you wanted to turn the wheel?
But, I mean, I wouldn't complain. If we could come up with an interesting twist on Sudoku that was behind one of the doors in the Sorceress's Lair, I'd be fine with that. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't.
I'm just curious. As to, like, I feel like if we were to ask 100
then I'm
people...
I'm the guy that wrote the heavy door, light door.
Sure, sure. If we were to ask 100 people whether or not it adds anything to their experience of playing the game that they have to, like, take notes during the run just to complete the quest. Like, not something totally optional, not something where they're taking notes so that they can, you know...
If it's taking
so
notes...
Whatever, they could squeeze some more optimization out of something.
I mean, if it's taking notes for their own convenience as opposed to taking notes because you're only given this information once and can't get it again if you missed it.
Well, what if it's just a pain in the ass to get it again? You know?
What about
like in the case of Yosera.
What about the leaflet? I mean, do you feel like the leaflet is fundamentally flawed?
And we provide, like, the log and everything so that people can very easily make notes.
I feel like the leaflet is entirely optional. And that's the difference, right? Like, you know, we knew that the level 11 quest... By and large, people did not think that it was going to be fun for repeat play. And I'm just sort of curious as to, like, you know, if it is true that most people feel like something is not fun, who are we serving by having it in there?
Well, what if you could make the argument that most people don't feel like playing KOL is fun because most people don't do it?
And I also
well,
feel like...
that's not that...
Who do you mean also by most people? Do you mean the people that tell us in the forums what they think is fun? Because...
No. No, I mean, that's not... Okay, I am curious.
How do you know
well,
what most people think?
Let's say among our listeners, you know, does anybody like... See, and I feel like there is a fundamental difference between, like, the wine bottle puzzle and the bang potions. The bang potions being randomized, I feel like is... The randomization there is fun and exploratory.
Right.
Whereas
why?
The randomization in...
Why is it more fun or exploratory in that?
Because it isn't tedious like the gremlins are. I feel like the gremlins are just kind of tedious.
I think we can make things less tedious if tedium is a problem without
making it less of a puzzle.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I guess, you know, the gremlins are optional.
You know, the gremlin puzzle or whatever was designed the way it was because we were coming up with sort of a different way to optimize each zone in the level 12 quest.
Right. What was the trick for...
Just being able to survive
the damage. Being able to survive
the damage,
yeah. I wonder if we couldn't derive some useful information from looking at the parts of an ascension that most people tend to script. Or that people who are going to script anything tend to script.
Is there...
I feel like they're going to script most of it, given the opportunity.
You think?
Sure. Why wouldn't they script it?
I believe entire ascensions have been scripted.
Yeah.
Not an MS-13, have they?
Sure. Why not?
Well, I'm just saying I don't think it's happened. I mean, I know that in, you know, previously, I know most of Bash's ascensions were scripted. almost in their entirety.
But why wouldn't you script an Ascension in an Ascension?
I'm not saying you wouldn't. I'm just saying I don't know that anybody has.
Yeah. I feel like anything that people could do, they have done at this point.
Well, you know, I'm just curious as to, like, just describe the person who we are providing a better experience for by having that be different every Ascension.
Describe the person that we are serving by having the rest of the game be the same every Ascension, I guess, is my counter-argument. No, seriously, though. I mean, I feel like a game that was at least subtly different every time would be a lot more satisfying than a game that was mostly the same.
But I mean, I think the...
And then just a little bit different.
But I think the RNG provides enough subtle differences in playthrough every time that it's not like you're just doing the same thing over and over again by rote.
You basically are.
Yeah, okay.
Right, I mean, really...
Okay, so, tell me this. Why do so many more people complain about the level 11 quest than complain about the level 10 quest?
Because the majority of the people that we receive complaints from are people on the forums who are ascenders and who are trying to play it as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is not in any way a wasname sample of the population at large.
So do you believe, then, that the level 11 quest is no less fundamentally fun upon repeated play than the level 10 quest is? I mean, do you just think that most of the dev team was wrong when they said that?
I don't think it's a matter of right and wrong.
They're fundamentally the
different
same
people
quest,
like
right?
Different things.
I mean, it's just much longer. Like, you know, like, level 10 quest, you know exactly what you're trying to do, and you just do it. And the level 11 quest, you know exactly what you're trying to do, and you just do it.
Okay, do you think something that 1,000 people think is fun and one person hates is as fun as something that 1,000 people hate and one person thinks is fun?
Okay. What I'm asking is how many people of those people who hate the level 11 quest love the level 10 quest? I think zero. I think zero people love the level 10 quest and hate the level 11 quest. That's okay. What I'm saying.
Okay. So what's the point that you're trying to make?
That they're the same quest, just different lengths, and they hate the level 11 quest because it is longer.
And
if we shortened the level 11 quest, they would hate the level 10 quest because it was longer.
Shortened the level 11 quest, then we'll still have just as many complaints because they'll have to grind to get to level 12.
And I don't think that, by and large, the people that complain about this kind of thing complained about grinding. do you think that the overwhelming consensus that the dev team came to, which was that the level 11 quest is not fun...
For repeat play
was just wrong?
No, but I also don't think that most of the game by these definitions, I don't think most of the game is fun for repeat
okay,
play.
Okay, so the fact that they disagree with you, are they wrong about that?
That the rest of the game is fun for repeat play?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, and do they disagree with me?
I think so. They never said that until it came up with regard to the level 11 quest. See, okay, I feel like the kind of person who says that the level 12 quest is not fun for repeat play is the kind of person who is more concerned with optimization than with making their experience fun. Because the level 12 quest, there are many, many ways to play through it. You can get...
But there's a spreadsheet that tells you what the optimal way to play through it is.
Well, can I finish my sentence and make my point? The kind of person making that same complaint about the level 12 quest is the kind of person who, if that spreadsheet exists, has to play it that way. And so is more concerned with optimization than they are with making the experience fun. I feel like with the level 11 quest, there is no such distinction. There is only one way to do it, no matter who you are. I think it is fair to say that the length and complexity of the level 11 quest sticks in people's craws in a way that the rest of the game does not. like the entire rest of the game does not.
Okay.
And I'm just curious as to...
If that's true, then I think it's true unjustly.
I'm not saying that the
sensation is wrong. Is the dev team just wrong? Were they just wrong when they said that?
I'm not saying anything is wrong. I'm just saying that the same dissatisfaction that arises from playing through the level 11 quest is going to be the same one that arises from playing any other linear quest where you really are making no decisions. I mean, like, there are, like, subtle strategic choices that you're making, optimizing item drops or monster level or... you know, whatever, right? Like, those are the kinds of things that you're doing, or, like, plus adventure versus plus combat or whatever. Those are the things that you're deciding in, like, the level 10 quest, right? And does the level 11 quest have none of that? I don't really remember sort of how all the areas fall together.
I mean, I kind of think that it doesn't. I feel like...
If we put no way to optimize or change level 11 quest, then I think that yes, it is a weaker quest because there are no choices you're making.
And I mean, honestly, I kind of believe that is...
Okay, then it's been a long time since I've sort of looked at the specific ways to do that.
We designed the level 11 quest the way that we would have designed a quest for another game, basically, right? Like, the important items that you get that advance the plot of the level 11 quest are quest items, you know, and there's a specific way to get them, there's a specific set of things that you have to do, you know. And what I am trying to arrive at,
yeah,
over, you know, via this conversation is... is there any way that we can preserve our intent as designers without it diminishing the experience of playing KOL for the number of people that it diminishes the experience for, without also removing joy for the people who derive joy from it?
Well,
are there ways that we could make it better for everyone?
Do we want to have puzzles that you can't spoil on the internet?
I think that we, as designers who get frustrated with the players for wikiing everything, want to have puzzles like that.
Right, that's what I was asking. Do we want to have puzzles like that?
We do want. We want to. We obviously want to, because we have done so. I don't think that there's anything wrong with us putting stuff like that in the game. You know, I don't think there was anything wrong with the
I don't really
Ragamuffin Imp puzzle.
I don't really view the Gremlins as a puzzle as the other part of the problem.
Right.
It's just a tedious act.
Right. It's a tedious hassle.
Okay.
So
sure.
Could we...
So, but that's the distinction, right? Like, you're talking about it like the heavy door puzzle or whatever. Like, that's a puzzle that you have,
sure,
to solve each,
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and nobody ever really complained about that one. I threw that in because I wanted a third example.
Some
because
people complain.
A list of three examples is preferable to,
right,
a list,
no,
of two.
But I mean, sure, people have complained about it. People don't want to have to solve it every time, and you know, and people wrote scripts to solve it fairly quickly after, you know, that was introduced.
If we made the junkyard a single zone that had all of those gremlins in it,
yeah,
and removed the gremlins from the queue, you know, the gremlin with the hammer or whatever, if we removed him from the queue after you got the hammer and just used the version of him that didn't have the hammer,
right?
Would that be any worse for anyone? Would we lose anything important that we were trying to accomplish there? That zone was about... it was about a novel mechanic, it was about having to read the combat text, right? And it was about being able to survive that amount of damage.
What is the difference between one zone and four, I guess?
Because right now, if you find out... So basically, you go in there, you're trying to complete this zone in the fewest possible number of turns.
Sure.
You don't know which gremlin you're looking for in a zone.
Are you looking for one tool at a time?
Yes.
Oh, okay, you can't look for four tools at the same time.
And you don't know which, because there are four sub-zones to it, and you don't know which gremlin you're looking for. You don't know which gremlin you have to pay attention to without talking to Yossarian to find out which tool he needs from that place,
right,
and then looking at the wiki to figure out which gremlin has the tool, if the tool is in that place.
I see.
Okay. So that's...
Yeah, that one's a little rough.
So, but I mean, this is an honest question, right? Are we losing anything? Are we losing our intent? Are we making it less fun for anyone if we make it more straightforward?
No, I don't feel like we are. But I mean, that wasn't. I feel like the way that it manifested wasn't how we really intended for it. Like the way that I felt like we had intended to be, you could go for any of the four tools at any time. And for some reason, that just never
happened. What do you mean? I mean, there was going to be one tool in every zone.
Right, but you could go to all four zones, find all four tools. If you, I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you have to do them linearly, I think.
No, I don't.
It's not ideal.
No, it's not linear. You can go to any of them. He tells you where each of them is.
Okay.
The difference is, okay, if the wrench is over by the tires, then the bat-winged gremlin has it. If the pliers are over by the tires, then the AMC gremlin has it, or whatever.
You can go for all four tools. So then all you need to do is just pick a zone, go there, and read the combat text. Right?
You only want to extend combat. If you're trying to conserve resources, you only want
with
to extend combat against the one that has it.
Sure.
Right? If it were just one zone, and the thing is, because I don't think that we're handing the optimizers any turns by collapsing it to a single zone. Is there any value in it being four separate zones? All of the monsters have identical drops. After the war, it collapses to a single zone. You're getting no less content. You're spending no fewer turns doing it. You're paying no less attention to the fights. You're just spending less time looking stuff up in the wiki.
You were the one who wanted it to be separate zones so that it would be more interesting.
Thus, the self-doubt portion of the title of this segment, or bit, as we in the radio industry refer to segments.
Are you worried that it will look less interesting? I mean, like, I guess, like...
I'm not worried about a damn thing. I'm trying to get some input from my team members on how they feel.
I don't think there's anything fundamental to the way that we describe the design of that encounter that requires it to be multiple zones. I feel like there's an inclination on our part to break things into multiple zones so that it looks like more is going on and sort of has the appearance of being more interesting.
Yeah, I think...
But I
think a better solution to, rather than collapsing it into one zone, would be coming up with a way to make the four zones individually interesting.
Right. I think as it stands now, they each have two different gremlins in them and the AMC gremlin.
Right. That's the way I understand it.
But
so
there is
the AMC gremlin never has it.
Right. The AMC gremlin never has the tool.
So
there is always, there is overlap. There are only four other types of gremlins. There are not eight.
Right.
So which of the two other gremlins has it depends on which tool is in that zone.
Right.
I think. Unless that's not how it works. Same deal with the with the wine cellar, though, right? Four zones. Same. Like I wrote both of these at like the same time.
Right.
I did them both at the same time. I was all excited about the whole subzone idea. It turned out to be a code cluster fuckastrophe. Now there are actually four individual zones.
But the wine thing, I think that was actually specifically supposed to be separate zones. Because it was part of it was like
they have different drops,
fighting it to see what the drops were to get the
sure.
ones that you want, and like that's a bit of a puzzle, and that, you know, like that I feel like that has some value having some different zones in the wine cellar.
I guess with that one, my question is then if we randomize the drops in the zones, if we continue to randomize the drops in the zones,
yeah,
but in every time you ascend, the way that you complete that quest is, you know, Merlot, Pinot Grigio, Shiraz, right?
Uh-huh.
Have we lost anything? Have we lost anything other than
you
tedium. Because you don't know where they drop.
There is some distinct narrative completion to seeing the labels and the symbols on the wall.
Is it interesting more than once? That is how you solve the puzzle.
Right.
Trial and error would be too difficult. It still works. Right, you could do trial and error now. It would not be any more or less prone to trial and error if it were always the same. If you weren't looking it up, you would be able to look it up the first time, which right now, you know,
you can't look it up any time. You can only look up the method.
Right, but I would argue that figuring out how that puzzle works is only interesting once.
I mean,
you know how it works all the times after that.
I would not be adverse to, like I said, only forcing them to actually solve the puzzle the first time and making subsequent ascensions, making the puzzle optional for in return for a bonus reward. For puzzles in which figuring it out
is
the difficult
tedium just
part.
Putting the glasses on and off?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could code it such that once you'd seen a glyph on a bottle of wine, you could always see the glyph on that bottle of wine.
Yeah, or if ascensions, you know, if you're wearing the glasses or ascensions are greater than one, show the glyph on the bottle of wine, right? I mean, that's just like being nice to people, right? I mean,
right. Here's a question. Keep the puzzle in there, because I feel like the puzzle is... It's fundamental to that whole zone. I mean, I wouldn't...
To what extent... Just philosophically, to what extent is what we want important compared to what the players want, right?
Well, I mean, that's something we felt for a long time, is that what a player thinks they want is not necessarily what's good for the game.
Sure, but if a large group of smart players who are concerned with what's good for the game would just universally be happy about a change. No one complained about the removal of the monster level non-combat thing, right? I think we just fucked that up. I think that was a mistake. It did not need to happen. We did not make the game any better by making that decision. A lot of what we did to slow down the game during NS13 testing was we kind of went at the problem with a hatchet for a while, realized that no number of hatchet strokes was going to solve it, so then we took a chainsaw to it, right? And so a lot of the hatchet marks just seem like we're being dicks. Because the chainsaw is what stopped it. Some people could successfully argue. They couldn't successfully argue because this is definitely not going to change. Part of the reason a lot of things that we did in NS13 were done as an effort to prevent Organ of Steel on day one. Right? Because we eventually went with Marshall's idea where you can get it whenever you want, but you don't get to use it until the next day. None of those changes needed to happen to accomplish that, except that one. Because that one did it no matter what. We made it physically impossible to get Organ of Steel on day one. Because we were just failing. Nothing that we did, we could not outsmart the optimizers.
We couldn't do it without just dress.
Just making it against the rules. I mean,
or just being, you know, kind of takes 100 turns to find the rat faucet or something, you know?
Right, sure. So, you know, and I think that the monster level non-combat thing was... It was not universally despised in dev. It was not very popular in dev. It was not very popular anywhere. But this is what I'm saying. Like, it sounds great. Right? It sounds like a good idea to us as designers. But did we do the right thing by getting rid of it? We made everyone happy, arguably. We did not diminish the experience of playing the game for anyone. We improved the experience for anyone who cared to talk about how they felt about it, which is weird for us. It's weird to make a change that is just categorically popular, right? Now you guys are just staring off into space and not even talking to me anymore. Is the conversation too heady for you?
You've had a lot more time to think about it than we have.
What are you talking about?
You just came up with this topic at the beginning of the radio conversation.
No, I thought of it yesterday, and specifically, I put a reminder in my phone to spring it on me so that I could spring it on you guys. These are all original thoughts. I know you probably don't believe me because they sound so smart. it seems like I must have been practicing this speech in front of a mirror for years.
Yes.
Before I even started working on KOL, I was
practicing
turning these ideas over in my head. You know, I was
just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
I think that it is important that at the very least we attempt to make something that we find interesting.
Absolutely.
I believe that we can fall short of the mark in terms of design, but I feel like if we are constantly shooting for the lowest common denominator for design, I feel like we're just going to make something that's terrible.
Right. I agree with you there.
So
wholeheartedly.
Okay.
But
so
I don't.
I feel like we put a lot of content in that was, you know, I feel like the level 12 quest, you know, if we were like, well, we know people are just going to figure out the optimal paths through this thing, so we might as well just make it linear and, you know, click on a bunch of boxes kind of thing. I feel like if we had done that instead, I think we would have been doing a disservice to the game.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that even people who consider the level 12 quest to be a solved problem,
yeah,
they at least appreciate what we were trying to do. They at least understand that we were trying to make things interesting for them, and it was at the very least, it was interesting for whoever wrote the spreadsheet to solve the problem the first time.
Can I say that what it sounds like all the complaints were was had nothing to do with a randomized puzzle per ascension. It was having to deal with tedium.
Sure.
Right? And you know, I'm all for getting rid of tedium, but I'm all for having more randomized puzzles, too. You know?
But it's just weird that the two cases, and the thing is, I'm not talking about the lowest common denominator here. I'm talking about Mr. Magnifico and Lycra.
Yeah.
I know, the plural of anecdote is not data. I got to tell Hot Stuff that a lot when we were arguing.
You said it once.
Stuff. No, whatever. I said it a lot.
You said it once, and
I repeated it a bunch of times.
Story about it is an anecdote.
Well, yeah, but I think you can't necessarily use that particular puzzle as a stand-in for everything. I mean, obviously that one has some tedium problems, but that doesn't mean all randomized puzzles are bad.
Are there any other required randomized puzzles? I mean, I feel like everybody does the leaflet. Sure, it's not required, but everybody does it, and everybody's going to get everybody that hasn't permed it or whatever is going to do the randomized per ascension thing in it. You know, granted, they'll probably look it up, but they don't complain about it at all, right? And, you know, maybe they don't complain about it because it's not required, but it's a randomized puzzle per ascension. And it's really interesting, right? So, I think 85% of the problems that people have with parts of the game is the tedium, right?
You know? Sure.
And I think we have been making significant strides towards reducing that for people that really care about
interface stuff. Absolutely.
A lot of that. You know, the combat action bar was a huge step forward. The chat commands are another huge step forward. You know, to some extent, the basic design of KOL has a bunch of limitations in terms of eliminating some tedium, but
right.
I don't. I guess I. You know. I feel like I. You know. I have a sort of an emotional response to this. I just. I'm gonna defend the idea of puzzles that are unspoilable. You know.
Sure.
In air quotes.
And I can certainly. And I do not think that there is anything wrong with putting them in. I'm just. I am not certain about them being something that people have to solve every 3 or 4 days. I'm just not sure that that's fun for enough people to have it be worth forcing everyone to do it every time they play through an Ascension run. You know,
here's an argument. I don't know if it's a great argument, but how many people are having to solve those puzzles every 3 or 4 days as opposed to
every
how many
of
our players have to solve
that's an excellent question.
Because, I mean, the people that are absolutely pushing the limits of this are,
I expect,
fairly...
Right, and they play in such a way that it's their job to make the game the least possible amount of fun, basically. They don't admit that. They're playing a game that's fun to them, but the game that they're playing that is fun to them makes the game that we designed not fun for them. And we cannot solve that problem for those people. But
it's not really a problem, because if they're having fun in whatever way that they're interacting with the game, then so be it. You know, we didn't design the game as the mall, but the mall is the game for a lot of people, and that's cool. You know?
But all I'm saying is, if we put restrictions in the mall, when we hardly ever dick with the mall, right? We dicked with it once. It was very unpopular, but we did it to get rid of a bunch of database lag caused by a sort of fad that was frustrating to us. You know, if we decided that for the sake of the game's economy as a whole, not even for the sake of the game's economy as a whole, if we decided we didn't like the way the mall worked, and you know, I'm really curious, if I change the mall search to work the way that I want it to, which is, there is no way, I think, that an archaeologist, uninvolved 10,000 years from now, could look at the interface as it stands now, and the interface that I'm proposing, and not conclude that the new one is better, right? If we do it, we make the game better, in my estimation, as a designer, but everyone who plays that mall game hates it. Should we have done it? You know, we often defend decisions that we make by saying, if it was always like this, nobody would complain about it. You know, that is our, this is a better idea than the original idea that we had for this particular thing. I don't know if that's a valid argument or not. I mean, I genuinely do not know whether I think that that's enough of a justification for doing something. All right, what was that all about?
Well, the giant note that said, do not unplug this USB cable had been completely ignored.
Do not unplug this USB cable from this device that doesn't fucking work.
It works just fine.
Yeah. It works for me.
Goddamn wireless print server. You know, I'm getting a fucking hub for over here because we now have a physical line running to it. It would work fine if it wasn't for the goddamn wireless. The wireless is the problem. Wireless is always the problem.
It's the piece of crap print server that you have.
It's not a piece of crap print server. That was the finest print server $12.99 could buy.
Did you say the funniest?
No, I think I said the...
If you figure out its quirks, it works fine.
Whatever.
It's just that it's got some quirks.
If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass a hoppin'. That's what my dad used to say. And then he would say, wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled up first.
Totally derailed by
because you're unplugging some shit.
You
I'm like, what are you doing? Reaching over and unplugging my microphone? You trying to censor me?
My stomach still feels cold, by the way.
Yeah, hot stuff.
Swallowed
an ice cube.
Still?
While we were drinking the pitcher of margarita-flavored water. And He said he had never swallowed an ice cube
I can't think of an ice cube that I... Like, I've
you can't think of any specific ice cube that you've swallowed in the past?
No, but I mean, I've chewed ice and, like, you know, swallowed the sort of, like, ice... crushed ice bits, but never just swallowed an ice cube whole. And I was like, wow, that feels really weird. Still feels strange.
So, here's what I'm saying. When we change something, people complain about it, and we think to ourselves, if it had always been like this, nobody would have ever, it would have never occurred to anyone to complain about it.
Right.
I think that we could use that reasoning to justify a tax in the mall. A tax in the mall would be good for the game. It would be good for the economy of the game. It would put less pressure on us.
It would be good for the game
to tweak the economy.
If people continued to use the mall, which they might not.
I think they would. I don't think that anything that we could do short of convincing 75% of the people who play to quit would change the fact that people use the mall.
Sure.
I don't actually know what would happen there. Would people raise prices by the amount that the tax was, and then the buyer would just
probably
be expected
not
to shoulder that burden, or would does the market determine what people are willing to pay, and the people running the mall stores just have to suck it up and eat that loss
if they want to continue
to do business?
That's the way it would. In real life, the stores would raise the price.
If sales tax goes up, the people at the store would raise the prices of stuff.
Well, I mean, I think people would raise their prices initially, but
it would even back out.
It would even back out because people would go to undercut those people, and eventually the prices would end up back more or less where they began.
I feel like we can, but the weird thing is that we can agree that tedium is bad.
Sure. Sure.
Right, I think we could have a real argument about whether taxes would be good or bad for the game.
We can definitely agree that tedium is bad. So then, is it just a coincidence that the two most oft-cited sources of tedium in the NS13 content are also the two...
I feel like the level 11 quest is cited
randomly
way more often than these two than the
glyph thing?
Yes. I mean, that's part of the level 11 quest, but I feel like the entirety of the level 11 quest is cited as tedious.
Right. What do you suppose it would do to run speeds if
we just cut that out?
Yeah. If we took some of the
right from level 10
if we took far. Some of the quest items,
yeah,
and just made them normal items, normal drops. There is, as far as I know, there is effectively no way to speed up the level 11 quest with pulls.
Why don't we come up with some clever sneaky shortcuts to getting stuff.
Like the tomb ratchets?
Tomb ratchets, you know, like we did stuff, you know,
the problem with
stuff
the
in level 12 that was very sneaky, that took people a long time to figure out, and did a lot to balance the speed of going through on either particular side and stuff.
I am kind of astonished at how well that worked out.
Well, I mean, there's still...
There is an optimal path, but there was always going to be.
Sure.
I am astonished at how close we got just pulling numbers out of our asses.
Oh, but we were always going to tweak them.
I know, but we didn't have to.
That's true.
And that's fucking weird.
Well, I mean, you average out over three separate zones. And we had an idea of what we
sure
were looking for.
Sure. Yeah, we, you know, some vague numbers that we were shooting for or whatever. That was a fun time. It was frustrating. You know, it wasn't fun. It's fun in retrospect.
Why, it was frustrating how?
It was frustrating trying to...
arriving
at the way that the level 12 quest worked.
You know, the more choices that we give to people, the more varieties of ways that people can play the game and to optimize, you know, the varieties of different play styles, the more diversity... I feel like the more diversity that we gave to each individual character class on each playthrough, I think would be, you know, is...
I mean, that was a definite goal with NS13, right? Was to distinguish the classes away. And we did it in the context of nerfing a lot of their combat skills, but, you know, if we didn't do that, every class was playing as a seal clubber. So, I guess now every class plays as a turtle tamer because it's like, shield butt, shield butt, shield butt. I'm the only thing that auto-hits. except crits, which makes for some tedious item of the month abuse. Although, Istari claims that V-Crisis is no longer optimal now that the... V-Crisis is no longer optimal past the first 100 turns or so, now that the monster level non-combat interaction is gone. So, huzzah. We're all smart when we're all like, remember when we were stupid? Let's not do that anymore.
I mean,
It wasn't stupid. And that's the thing. I feel like this is an example of like why it's important to think about this kind of thing, right?
Sure.
Because the monster level non-combat interaction sounds great from a design standpoint.
I can see all the player arguments against
it. It just doesn't play out that way.
Yeah.
You know. It's the whole Blizzard theory that, like, you know, the end result of balance is absence of fun.
Right.
And we shouldn't, you know...
But we shouldn't not balance.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, make everything feel really powerful.
Right.
I feel like that's an excellent starting point for a lot of stuff, you know?
The trick is to make it feel really powerful without it actually...
Without it actually being really powerful, just making it so you can kill the third form of the sorceress without the wand. I forget exactly why that happened. You know, I had made the third form of the sorceress 90% physically and elementally resistant because I didn't want it to be totally impossible to kill it because we wanted a bronze sausage or whatever.
We didn't really want a bronze sausage.
Yeah. Should we take a musical break?
Oh, we can.
A musicale interlude. And then actually answer some questions. At the end, we're going to get to all the questions that were about this.
Were there any questions or just comments?
I think there were some comments, including one from Hoopity, who is my boy, and says, Jick, thank God you made the game instead of Riff or Hot Stuff.
Just to be fair, he's the one that made all these mistakes in the first place.
That is true.
You know. I will say that, you know, if we had been designing it, we probably would have just come up with different bad ideas.
No.
Like a Sudoku behind one of the sorcerer's doors.
Keep in mind that listening to me, I specifically said, "Hey, look at me! I'm the devil's advocate."
No, I know, but like the Sudoku thing is kind of interesting, right? Like, if you don't like doing Sudoku, it's gonna be a pain in the ass. If you like doing it, you'll enjoy being able to do one every 3 or 4 days, right? So,
yeah,
like, if it is not tedious to you, you will enjoy having a puzzle.
Well, let's pop down to the bottom after we come back from the break and just see what people have to say about it and then move back up and do earlier questions.
Sure.
But for now, we're going to listen to some Cyndi Laupers.
Yay.
When time is new, all through the night today, knowing that we feel the sun without saying. We have of no past, we won't reach back. Keep with me forward all through the night, and once we start, tell
Hot stuff. I know that song is all romantic, but you gotta stop trying to hold my hand. See what I did there? I implied that Hot Stuff was gay for my package.
How, your package is in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
that's your own problem, dude.
I don't know how sex works between dudes. That's your department. Alright, so are we gonna somebody at least is Fro Fusilli is telling us to ignore the questions and continue discussing design philosophy. So let's excuse me. Let's look at what. fuck. Excuse me. Gleeb says,
"Let's ignore questions and just
belch." Yeah, we'll just belch for 35 minutes and
it'll belch out the alphabet, and then we could just piece together answers to all the questions.
All right, spelling them all out—that would rule. We can make the radio show more popular by adding a feature that is a combination of flashlight and fart noise generator.
That's true.
Gleeb says, how about stop making the glasses an accessory and have them work from your inventory? I think that causes the puzzle to suffer because it's not... The glasses mechanic was cool. I liked it in the original Spooky Raven bits, right?
I mean, the Spooky Raven stuff... The thing about the Spooky Raven stuff is that there are... a handful of items from Spooky Raven that have this sort of like impact on how you perceive the world, right? The horn, the glasses, yeah. Like, and we have used and probably will continue to use those items,
yeah,
to continue to let you see the world differently, right? And so, like, you need to know about that mechanic.
I do have to say that I don't think that I would have made the glasses as Actually, how hard is it to find the glasses? It's not, like, tricky, right? Like, the key is the one that's got the ordinal component.
Right.
It's so, just behind the nightstand or something, right? Like,
I think so.
You just get it.
Yeah.
So, I would probably have not made the glasses quite so complicated to acquire if I had initially designed it as something that was going to be required for Ascension. Right? That was one of those things where... Spooky Raven was to NS13 what the rest of the game was to the Sorceress Quest, right? Adding Spooky Raven as part of a required quest was done kind of with the understanding that people knew everything about Spooky Raven already. The reason that you know, that I still think it's weird that the Sorceress Quest just requires this random assortment of items from, like, the first three or four levels of the game, right? I think that that's weird.
I think it would be worth going through and thinking about rewriting the Sorcerer's Tower, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Sorcerer's Quest is sort of a culmination of your travels and travels
which
and travails.
Which is why it's weird that it, because, by and large,
that's not
only
exactly
requires
true.
Things from like the first three or four levels of the game.
What do you mean?
I mean, I guess not, you know, there's the hole in the sky stuff, you know, there's...
Yeah. There's the stuff from Dungeons of Doom, there's the stuff from...
Sure. So, I mean, we did alter
it a little
bit. Does it require
anything from level 11?
Yeah, I don't think it does. Well, okay, it can require gremlin juice.
Okay.
Is there something from the level 11 quest that it can require? One of the gates? These are all alterations that we made to it with NS13,
sure.
though. I have felt for a long time like the puzzle of the Naughty Sorcerer's Quest was a puzzle that gets worse and worse the bigger the game gets.
The puzzle of it?
The puzzle aspect of it. I mean, the Naughty Sorceress is not... The Naughty Sorcerer's Quest is not something out of, you know, World of Warcraft. The Naughty Sorcerer's Quest is something out of Zork. Right, it's just very much like an adventure game kind of thing.
The hedge maze is something also that changes every.
That one I don't think is a big deal because you look at it and you're like it's not.
It's a puzzle.
But it's not. I guess.
I mean, it's a puzzle, but I don't know that it's very puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a 15 puzzle that was configured differently is the same puzzle every time, right? Like it's not. It's. I was pretty impressed with whoever came up with the. I think didn't Armack do one? Yeah, like the coming up with multiple variations of the Sorceress puzzle that only had one solution and required the same number of rotations as the original puzzle. That was like because I kind of lucked up. It's awesome. I still have the bar napkin on which I scrawled the original hedge maze puzzle. Back when I still had a job and I was going to the Georgian Dragon to drink beer after my job every day on the way home from my job that I had.
That was not at the Georgian Dragon.
At a company, yeah. When I bought my first house, I met the realtor at Georgian Dragon to finish signing the paperwork.
Did you even look at your house before you bought it?
Yes.
Or did you just say, pick me a house?
I looked at two houses.
Did you look at both of them?
I did. I looked at two houses, and I liked... The one that I didn't pick, I liked better, but I didn't want to buy it because it was a foreclosure, and it was still one of the... it was still full of the people's stuff, and I just felt bad. I know I shouldn't. I know that's ridiculous, but... It was there was a kid's room and it was full of magic cards and I was just like,
wow,
I can't fucking take this kid's house. Like I just can't do it. And the house that I did buy worked out better because it had the whole office upstairs thing, you know. The one that I didn't buy was at a much much nicer yard and
trees.
Yeah, it had the same number of trees. I mean, I told them this is what I want. This is the you know where I want and the price range. And I just skimmed the list, and the three greenest pictures, I scheduled appointments to see those three houses. And one of them was fucking terrible. It was not something I would even consider buying.
So now you've seen three. Now you saw three houses.
I saw three houses, and I bought.
Story keeps changing.
Sorry. I forgot about the third one. It was so forgettable in every way.
See, the problem is you would have been nice about the foreclosure house and would have let them take all their stuff or whatever. Whereas whoever else did buy it probably just was like, I'm taking all their stuff.
Yeah, I want these magic cards. I'm totally going to sell this,
they probably
this
had
little 10-year-old
like
douchebag Rock of Care Ridges. Nah, they were like new magic cards.
Okay.
This was a lot of years passed between the time when we were playing Magic and the time when I was buying a house for the first time. Not as many as for some people, I guess, but... All right. So, I think no on making the glasses not an accessory anymore.
But the notion of making, in one particular case, the glyphs visible...
If you have the glasses
and
you've ascended once, yeah.
I think that is an option for sure.
Yeah.
You know, the if it's just the tedium, I really don't have any problem sort of reducing tedium.
Yeah.
You know, that was never, except in like the FedEx Quest, which, you know, the
right.
whole
tedium
whole
point is the goal. Son of a beach, you know. Yeah. Tedium is you know.
Son of a beach is drastically different now.
Is it? Oh, because the fucking spooky putty?
Yeah.
Yeah, god damn it.
Yeah.
Broken.
Broken in a way we're just not going to fix, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Broken like a fox. I think that I might have to make clan dungeon monsters on spooky puttyable.
Really?
In general, because it just fucks a lot of stuff up.
Because you're fighting stuff outside of the.
You're fighting stuff. You're doing a bunch of stuff that we spend a lot of time. You know, it's equivalent to being able to be booted from a clan
and fight.
You know, like, yeah, and we spend all this time making it so that kind of shit didn't happen just because it's weird. It's not like it's a problem. It's weird that
yeah,
it works like that.
There's all kinds of weirdness with the putty.
Yeah, I know. So little testing. That's great. let's see. Jowlen says, I enjoy the wine. You just look up wines beforehand in the mall. That's, you know, interesting. Somebody linked to a post in the Hardcore Oxy forums,
which also suggests it's not actually adventuring for them yet. Just looking them up.
Yeah, looking them up, but then it like points out that the drops are not really randomized, right? One any given corner is always going to drop a set of three wines because
right.
that's just how it is, right? So then there is a little bit of a way to optimize that by looking it up, and so you know the kind of people who are the most likely to complain about that kind of thing are also the kind of people who don't want us to change it because it gives them a chance to
be optimal,
to take some turns off. LDI Mate says, I think the wine puzzle adds an element where I have to think instead of just making it a click, click, click game and haven't hit the point of scripting puzzles or anything. Of the Hill People says, who are we serving? Don't you mean to ask, who jumps out of the rabbit? I don't get it. also, again, he says, I didn't expect this Thursday show to be such a Spanish Inquisition. Cheap, cheap, cheap JD says, having to take the Spooky Raven glasses on and off is annoying. The randomization is all right and would actually be nice if the game had more variation per ascension. I was so happy to see a few new things upon ascension, changes in the hole in the sky and such. I also didn't find the temporal rift on the plains, which was exciting. Perhaps investing time in optional quests that change somehow upon ascension would be nice. We have been meaning for years to do more stuff.
Q1,
yeah.
That's a good cue.
Just little things that change or alternate on Ascension. Because I think, you know, they add something. They don't hurt anything, certainly.
They definitely, I mean, I feel like they definitely add to replay value.
They you know,
just
question of apportioning development time, right?
But
greatest flavor. Good for the greatest amount of people. Yeah, flavor. Flavor's good. Weekend has it.
So good.
let's see. Itimate says, I still do enjoy the level 11 quest, though the times I've had to do it too quickly in a row, it got really tedious. Internet attention spans, you know. That is, I would probably not enjoy the level 11 quest if I were playing KOL. Given the way that I find myself playing
other games,
12 Sands and Twilight Heroes. Like,
I mean, you have said many times you probably wouldn't enjoy playing KOL.
Yeah. I would script it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just farm stuff. And never do anything with it. And that's what I do in the other games that I play.
Yeah, but eventually you're going to be able to sell your account for billions of dollars.
I guess that's true.
It's your retirement.
Well, yeah, because you have the creator panel.
No, not in KOL.
He's talking about my, like, 12 Fangs character.
Oh, okay.
Twilight Heroes. I have some I have some of the first item of the month in Twilight Heroes.
Twilight Heroes.
It's pretty sought after. But I never see... I don't think that the auction house in Twilight Heroes is really active enough to have like a sustainable item of the month economy. I never see any items of the month in there or any like of the equivalent of the Mr. Accessory.
The problem of like requiring a good community before that stuff becomes viable is tricky.
It is. And I just, it's so, people are so you know, dust in the wind about where they will congregate. You know, it's so unpredictable.
Yeah,
I don't know. No Hurt Me says, I'm a repeat ascender and I've got no problems with the level of Inquest or really any part of the game. I'm mostly not concerned with optimization and speedrunning at all. It's just the speedrunners that tend to bitch the most. Yeah. Jowlin says, what's the ETA on the C? Hey, that's not related. But, yeah. Provided we can go from zero to done in one day, it will be done in one day.
We're thinking this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I think that if I can get a good... spent today working on Super Secret Project,
yeah.
And I did some KOL stuff, some back-end, like, abuse tracking stuff, too.
Because you so like back-end abuse.
I like back-end abuse, yeah. And I like to keep a record of it,
yeah,
for posterity and posterior. My plan is to work tomorrow and the next day, and if I can get two solid days out of me and Hot Stuff, we can get the zone done.
Yeah, I think
in a big hurry.
We
did some brainstorming with Scully, and I'll get Riff to do some of them their writings. Ooh, and there's some of it I can make C.D. Moyer do. Sweet. It's like I'm got a company. Come and knock on our door. That's the kind of company I got. Gloop says, you're doing a favor to people who write scripts to automate the tedious to-do things like the heavy door solver. Yeah, heavy door solver. Heavy door solver. It's like paperback writer, see? See what I did there? Doing a lot of singing on this section of the show. This is a segment I like to call Jake is a singing-ass douchebag. And Naked Juice says, this discussion is fucking fascinating. I am high as a goddamn kite right now, just sitting still and listening. You guys rule. Love, a Naked Jew. Yeah, but you could be listening to anything. You could be listening to fucking Pink Floyd and it would sound good.
While being high as a kite.
Yeah.
I like Pink Floyd. Shut up.
I don't mind Pink Floyd. It's not exactly, like, the most vibrant. I'd rather listen to Fish.
I was really depressed that, like, all the laser shows that I remember from my childhood just don't happen anymore. Like...
they don't do Laser Floyd anywhere anymore?
Not in Denver that I could find.
We went to one in Columbus a couple of times before I moved away from Columbus.
Yeah, I feel like laser shows have just lost their
popularity. Was that in Pittsburgh? If it was in Pittsburgh, it was a lot more.
You were so high.
I was so high. Yeah. I have no idea.
I went to one in Champaign, and I think it happened. I don't fucking remember.
I went to Laser Floyd like 4 or 5 times. Yeah,
I only went once.
It was fun.
Were you high?
At the time?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Planetariums are weird.
Okay.
Just saying. Gleeb says, I enjoy the wine glyph puzzle except for putting on and taking off the glasses. Same with the outfit switching in the Gremlin quest. What I had suggested when we were sitting at that table in ye old public housey was making it so Yossarian would just mutter about...
just give you all the tools.
Yeah, just give you all the tools. and then give you a token good for 100 turns off your next ascension. You just it's an item that you use and it just subtracts 100 from your turns played.
And it's pullable.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that?
So it costs $100.
Having Yossarian just mutter about where he lost his shit. it was in the war. There's a hint. whether you're dressed up or not.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a soldier. I need one of the soldiers. He wanders off muttering something about his wrench and some tires or whatever.
Right.
You know. And maybe that would help people a bit.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
I feel like it. I feel like you just eliminate the like edges of the tedium. And that solves a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you know, ostensibly Junkyard, any of those mini quests are optional. I say, sort of grimacing, because I know that for optimal play, they're really not.
Judu2 says, I'm a speed ascender, and I will admit that I actually liked the monster level non-combat interaction because of the challenge of balance it presented. I liked having to stop and think about which one to use where. And I can see how figuring it out the first time would be interesting.
Yeah.
Right? One of those things that just, we said it once before, but it does not bear repeating now.
Repeat bears are just uninteresting.
The bears. Gleeb says, the leaflet also doesn't take any adventures to do, gives you nothing but free rewards. So, that's the difference.
Sure.
Attacks on the in-game mall, he says, would just promote third-party transaction sites. Oh, yeah! Because he turned into Kool-Aid Man for a second.
Oh.
And get you a lot of punches in the stomach from me.
Attacks on the mall. We'd probably put some defense in the mall as
fly,
well.
People would fly planes into them.
Yeah.
But then Dick Cheney would order them shot down. And no one would care.
I was in Minneapolis, and I didn't go to the Mall of America.
You didn't? Is there anything interesting about the Mall of America?
Probably not, but it's like the biggest mall in the country, and I just wanted to have been there and been like, ooh, ah.
God, there was a fucking puzzle in the mystery hunt. This was aggravating as hell. So, the puzzle was a bunch of, like, oblique references to songs in Rock Band or Rock Band 2.
Okay.
And then a video that was the tracks being played by four people in Rock Band 2 with no sound.
I thought they weren't actually being played because I didn't actually see any notes being hit.
Maybe they weren't.
I thought it was
they were just going through on no fail mode or whatever. Anyway, just watching somebody play Rock Band with no sound and having to identify the fucking songs based on that.
Yeah.
Like that puzzle.
Somebody who really knows Rock Band, it would not have been very hard.
I guess. That puzzle just pisses me off, though, because I feel like, by and large, that is a puzzle that just requires hours and hours and hours of tedious work.
Yeah, I don't feel like teams that didn't have a dedicated Rock Band player on their team got that puzzle. Did we get that puzzle?
Yeah, we solved it.
I forget.
I helped identify a lot of the songs based on... I was happy to see a reference to my favorite... what's that guy's name? David O. Russell?
I don't know.
The guy that directed Three Kings and... I Heart Huckabees. And it was like... this song was a reference to a fan of obscure This Guy movies, and it was Flirting with Disaster, which... one of my favorite movies. Nobody knows about it. Lutech says, I think a wine cellar puzzle is fine being randomized, but making the glass is an intrinsic thing once you find them. Maintain the puzzle, but remove the tedium. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mauglia says, interesting discussion regarding Q12. Both views are valid. We don't need to be solving more puzzles. Tedious. Then again, Q11 is a good quest, is fun, and test ability to prepare. I don't really know how you prepare for the level 11 quest, though. Q11 and Q12 funny.
Q1,
I know.
Q2.
Q1 is the tutorial. Q2 is fetch me a larva. Fetch me a bucket.
Isn't Q1 fetch me a larva? Q2?
Yeah, there is no level 1 council quest.
Well, okay.
Do you even play this game?
No.
Because I don't. I was hoping that somebody on staff did. Mixie says, I really like hearing you guys discuss design philosophy like this. More segments like this, please. It's a segment! I don't know that I can summon one of these up every Thursday, though.
We'd have to have something really interesting to get at the meat of.
I feel like this one was not...
like a turkey leg.
...particularly well-considered, and we were able to have an interesting discussion about it for a good 30, 45
you
minutes.
You thought it was well-considered enough for you to have written an alarm in your phone to remind you to...
You know, it didn't go off. I just remembered it. I don't know what the fuck I did wrong.
Irregardless.
This goddamn printer. It's haunted, I tell you. You know why that happened? It's because you fucked with those cables a little while ago.
Yeah, that has everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of setting itself to print all soundly.
Captain Spam says, with the higher and higher level content coming out, how long will it be before we start seeing equipment over 200 power? I don't think we're planning on ever putting out any equipment over 200 power, except in really weird exception cases.
We are... currently just dealing with enchantments as a vector for
improving. Yeah.
Yeah, if I had it to do over again, I would change the numbers that Cable uses for a lot of stuff.
You would give a lot more hit points.
Yeah. Yeah. The granularity would be very different.
Yeah, I fucking hate playing later Final Fantasy games when it's like, oh, okay, I have 729 hit points.
It doesn't bother you in World of Warcraft at all.
Yeah, because...
And it is exactly the same.
Right, okay. But I started playing World of Warcraft in the days of the original UI, which did not show you any numbers.
Okay.
I didn't. I don't mind my hit points being a red bar that moves analogically.
Analogically?
Yeah.
But you knew that there were numbers. I mean, like, their combat log shows numbers, has always shown numbers.
I actually... I don't think that I ever paid any attention to the combat log at all until I started playing with you, like, seriously.
Yeah, I never look at the combat log unless there's something... Unless, like, I suddenly died and wasn't sure how. That's the only situation in which I look at the combat log.
I didn't know for a long time that you could pull the combat log out separately. It wasn't until watching you play with all your crazy bullshit add-ons and a million fucking UI elements everywhere that you want to be just looking around for some fun game world to play around in. Nope, there's more icons. Hey, what's through this door? Oh, it's more fucking icons. Wonder what's in that chest. Icons! Maybe some meters. Some indicators. Some needles moving along.
Some tracks. Thermometers.
Some thermometers. Yeah.
They're so cute. I just love them.
I love thermometers and things with thermometers on them. Pillows.
Towels.
Blankets. Little bags. Everybody needs to go to YouTube and watch Drinking Out of Cups.
It's on my blog.
It's on Riff's blog. MinimumSafeDistance.org.
Dun dun dun.
ORD. Like ordinance.
We could link to it on our Twitter.
His
Twitter's kind of perfect for just linking somebody to websites that we like.
That's true. It's a shame that Riff started writing his blog shortly before we started Twittering, because now he doesn't ever Twitter, he just blogs.
It's true.
Well, but I don't blog the sort of thing that I would put in a Twitter either.
Well, so then Twitter.
But I don't...
you don't care. Is what you're trying to say.
I don't know.
You have interesting thoughts that you want
to
share
but
with
not
the player
the
base who reads. We have 500 people who read our Twitter.
Well, okay. I will keep.
You could just animate a anime. You should just write a bot that advertises your blog every six hours.
I will attempt to pay closer attention in case I have a 140 character thought that I might like to share with the universe.
135 or 134, actually.
Yeah, because you have to preface it with riff colon space.
Right.
We should write a game called Riff colon space. Where
oh my god!
you fly a little ship around in Riff's asshole shooting asteroids. They're asteroids!
Dingleberries.
Ew. Oh, whoops. That's just gross.
Okay. Riff's ass.
Pantsless says, the level 12 quest is great because although it's sort of solved, the solution changes as players gain new skills, and it's different from softcore to hardcore to Bad Moon. See, that's cool.
I am pleased with the level 12 quest, like, personally.
It rocks some shit.
The level 11 quest, like, I think is a great narrative, but if we could have figured out ways to sort of make it flow differently.
Perhaps we could hire some sort of flow bots to analyze it for us.
It's possible.
Do
we want to go back to the beginning of the list and answer some questions from a week ago?
Is that all, like, putting up signs and everything?
What?
Harry Annie says, hardcore's all fun again! Whee! Exactly how does Tongue of the Walrus work? Is it one giant lick or many small ones? I don't know. I think we're going to have to ask Mr. Owl. Momoka says, why do you get muscle substats from clearing away the goatlet? Isn't it exercise? No. No. Once you have the mining gear on, it's just work. Just tedium.
The drinking from cups video has been removed from YouTube by
what?
The user.
Seriously?
Let me see if I can find another copy.
Oh my
copy
gosh.
Because, yeah, I can't live without that shit, man.
Well.
I'll find another copy and fix my link.
No way.
Find
no
copy
way.
And tube socket.
Tube socket?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Tube socket?
Tube socket is a utility that lets you download YouTube videos.
I see. So you can poop sock while watching them without being connected to the. You can stop paying your internet bill and going to the bathroom?
Yes.
Still watch your.
You're still going to the bathroom when you're poop socking. Well, okay, I guess going to the bathroom in the literal sense of actually going there.
Smoking Tongue says, when consuming a basic maki with dragonfish eggs or sea salt, no salty or magical prefix shows up in the consumption list. You took the time to come up with great names for all the maki sushi's combinations, but only the three basic ones show up there. Yeah, because we'd have to create a new entry in the table for every one of those, and the way those names are generated procedurally. So.
Yeah. Again, told you that people are going to complain.
I know.
But.
Macarona says, why are the drowned sailors, unholy divers, and diving bells not considered spooky monsters with regard to elemental damage?
I thought they were. The diving bell is, for sure. I'm going to double check that. But I mean, I'm almost positive that I marked her as a.
Linguini Rad says, this is 10 dozen minutes of belching and yawning with Jick and friends.
The diving bell is a spooky monster.
I have no problem making the drowned sailors, and the unholy diver is not spooky, I would say. He's more of a big physical behemoth.
The unholy diver is?
I would not probably have made him spooky. The drowned sailor should be, I think. Linguila says, could you fix the sugar plum so I don't end up throwing away the ones I don't have enough MP for? No, that's how they work.
And drowned sailor is now spooky. Is there something special that, besides just setting the monster element, that you have to do?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I fixed the link.
So there's a new one?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same one, but it's a different copy, I guess.
Macarona says, I'm thinking that the Spooky Putty Snake should grant plus 10% spell damage per level to a maximum of plus 150% to be on par with other top-end chef staves. We didn't really want it to be on par with other top-end chef staves.
Yeah, though. It's the fact that you get it. And in addition to the other stuff, is sort of the coolness of it.
The Spooky Putty is basically the sheet. That's the item of the month.
It just also has a bunch of other utility.
Utility for people who don't play with every ounce of their strength. And that's fine. Yeah. Mistress of the Obvious says, I noticed black snow cones have doubled in price at the mall. I mentioned it to friends who said they don't seem to be summoning any lately. Down tweak? Coincidence? I think it's a coincidence.
They're now mutually exclusive with summoning other stuff.
Right. There are going to be fewer of them because there are more people summoning snow cones than...
More people summoning other stuff.
I mean, stickers than snow cones. Snow sticks.
But it... In theory, the chance overall has not changed. In fact, you are slightly more positive. Never mind, you can't get more than one a day. Never mind.
Can you not?
No. They're added to the exclusion list just like any other color.
I see.
That was not originally true. But.
Right. Ted the Red says, why isn't Ultra Hydrated a choice adventure? Everybody hates Ultra Hydrated.
Tedious.
It's not that tedious, though.
Okay.
It's not.
Tedious.
Maybe we should just make it give you 5,000 adventures of Ultra Hydrated.
No, I mean, I'm not actually suggesting changing it. I'm just saying. What, I mean, would you want to keep adventuring there and not get Ultra Hydrated, is what he's saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's what everybody bitches about, because basically farming the Oasis...
requires you to get that every five.
Yeah, you lose. You lose one out of every six turns to that.
We could make a new effect that was like semi-hydrated that didn't give you the effects of ultra hydrated, but prevented the non-combat from showing up.
Gleeb says, will there ever be a Harold Bell-like item for non-combat or choice adventures? That wouldn't really work, because there's no way... Yeah. With a choice adventure, you could conceivably Maybe. Put in a different choice. What the fuck
You'd
would that be narratively?
Every choice, though.
Well, it'd be hard-coded into the choice script, but for non-combats, non-combats are totally non-interactive, so there'd be no way to...
You could... I could see... you'd put in something in effect that the next non-combat you encountered...
Or the last one. I mean, you know, a little...
Yeah, I guess we...
You could do a little, like, hourglass thing, an hourglass necklace that would cause your next adventure to be the previous non-combat. Or whatever.
But it's the opposite. You want it to not show up.
Oh, Harold's Bell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's... As weird, as narratively weird as the bell is, whatever you would want for the non-combats would be doubly that much weirder. Or perhaps trebly.
GigaShadow555 says, hey, Jake, check out the Rebel FM podcast. It's done by some of the guys who used to do the 1UP podcast. Yeah, I've listened to a couple of those. It is amazing. They just bought some kind of equipment, and the first show sounded like this horrible bullshit sound quality like our show.
Yeah.
Second one is, like, flawless.
Okay.
I want to know what they bought.
Call them.
I should just email them.
Yeah.
They were talking about how they were pretty sure that they were not going to be able to do the podcast for free, which seems really weird.
What do you mean for free?
I don't know. I didn't say it. They did.
Well, but what did they mean for free?
I think
they're
requesting donations, which...
I see.
Given the sort of, like, outpouring of goodwill that the community that used to listen to the 1UP stuff gave at the, you know, the time of the layoff events, I would not be surprised if they could get enough money to operate for a while, just in one big sort of troop surge.
A lot of blogs, like, there were definitely some, like, political blogs that asked for donations once and had enough money from just asking once for several years of operation.
Yeah. We should get off the raid low.
Are we done already?
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock p.m.
Wow, that's crazy talk.
What song should I play?
I don't know.
You gotta suggest a song, man.
The Radiohead, Exit Music for a Film.
I don't think I have that. I'm sure I have that. What album is it on?
Okay, Computer.
Let's see. Radiohead. Oh, it's filed under Homos. Exit Music for a Film. Okay. All right. Hot Stuff is going to be all... I'm going to ask Pastafari if 420 is okay, and I think he'll say, yeah, dude.
This was a good show.
All right.
Yep.
I think so. Yeah. I hope that people enjoyed
it. Do it again next week.
All right. Somebody else come up with a question, though. Somebody else has to be the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I'm all singed from the horn pokings. I don't know why the advocate is somebody who...
gets poked.
Yeah, gets poked in the ass. I also don't know why it had to be my ass.
Poked in the
ass. All right, we'll see you. We'll see you guys later.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See you. Oh.
That you choke.